All right, we are starting a brand new series today called Love Is. Now, it's kind of interesting as we get into this month, the month of love. I feel like I should have a Barry White voice when I say that. But, you know, I always crack up because, you know, February is the month of love. And it's because at some point in time, some really, really intelligent, card maker decided that, hey, let's call February the month of love. Let's call it Valentine's Day. We can make a lot of money. But let's be honest, guys. If the only time you tell your wife or the only time you tell your husband you love him is on Valentine's Day, you got lots more issues. So we're going to begin this series called Love. And, you know, as you think about this word love, we as Americans throw this word around a lot. We throw it around all over the place when we talk about things. You know, we talk about the fact that we absolutely love our job. Some of you actually say that. I love my job. And then you talk about the fact that you love pizza, and you love the Colts, and you love your kids, and you love your wife, and you love your dog. I mean, some of you even love cats. I'm not sure how that happened, but you know, this whole mindset of love, and we use it in a fashion that there are all sorts of different phrases that are supposedly mean the same thing. But I would say if you love pizza the same way you love your wife, you might be in trouble. If you love your dog the same way you love your husband, you might have a problem. Because there's no way that this word love can translate into all these other things. Now, in some language, they actually have multiple different words for the word love that kind of describe the different variances and the different meanings and the different ideas behind love. But in English, all we have is this one word, love. And to make it even worse, to make matters even worse, is how often our culture defines love in today's society. And how we define it, how we talk about it. You know, this idea of love and what love is and what love isn't. And, you know, I always chuckle as our girls were growing up and they were going through, elementary school, middle school, junior high school, all that stuff. You know, we had very honest conversations with them about, you know, love and being in relationships and that type of thing. I made it very clear that guys really aren't worth much until they're 30. Things like that. Just to make sure, hey, if you're under 30 and you're a guy, you'll know it once you hit 30. You'll be like, oh wow, I was an idiot. So it's just the way that it is. I mean, I love you. I'm a guy. I was an idiot under 30. That's just the way that it is. And so, you know, we process through these things and we would talk to our girls. It was so funny because they would talk about their friends in elementary school and in middle school and even in high school, be like, oh, so-and-so says she loves him. And we would laugh about it. Because listen, you have no clue what love is in high school. You barely have a clue what love is in college. You might not have a clue even though you're an adult. I mean, it's just because love is so difficult to understand because everybody's got their own idea of what love is and what it looks like. Now, my wife tells me that I am the king of making up words. And so when I'm talking about something and there's a word in the English language that just doesn't work the way that I want it to, I twist it to say something else. I'll make up a whole new word. Anyone else like word making up? Like good. Yeah, I like it because it's enjoyable. And then they go, what does that word mean? Because I made the word up, I get to define what the word means. It's fun. It's really great that way. And here's the thing. So we have to ask the question, if we're going to truly find out what love is, we've got to ask the person that made it up. And the Bible says that God is the author of love. And so we're going to spend the next 4 weeks looking at what God says love is. And today we're focusing on what is love. And every time I say that, even when I did the series, I thought about that. Was it Rick Ashley? I think, you know, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. So it's just a great song. But anyways, listen. I'm not completely tone deaf. So, but you just process through these things and you ask the question, so what is love? If it's not all these things that we think it is, if we use it in all these different ways, what is love? And how do we understand it? How do we know love when we see it? Have you ever asked that question? How do you know love when you see it? Now you say, well, I feel it. And we'll talk about that later. The reality is that it's difficult for us to understand what love is if we don't even know what love is by the person who in the very beginning created it. So John, the writer of 1 John, we're going to spend the next 4 weeks actually in 1 John, spends a great deal of time in his book, 1 John, talking about what love is from God's perspective. And if we can, over the next 4 weeks, really hone in, zero around, circle it, get in tight, get in a laser focus, unpack what it means to love, I think it will transform every relationship that we have where we say we love someone. The writer begins, John, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 and 20, and then we're going to go back and we're going to look at verses 16 and 17 because he defines it specifically there. But he begins with this, 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. So he begins, just listen, he's writing to a group of people who are Christians, who also have a Jewish heritage, who've been spread throughout all of Europe and Asia and all that. And he's writing to them, he says, listen, dear children, our family, friends of the faith, he says, I want you to realize something. We are not to be those type of people who merely talk about love. You ever known someone that talked a good game when it came to love? You're like, oh yeah, he was a player. I know. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, someone that maybe would say they love you. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And you're like, tell your actions that. Because you don't act like you love you. Oh, but I love you, 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 I love you. Like, shut up. Stop saying it because it doesn't add up to what you're doing. And he says, listen, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not to be one of those people who simply walks around talking about how much you love. Because honestly, if you have to tell people that you love them, you can finish that sentence, can't you? You probably don't. It's kind of that old expression, if you're standing up in front, jumping up and down, saying, I'm the leader, I'm the leader, I'm the leader. You're not, because you lead by your actions and you love by your actions. John continues. He says, not only we are not to merely say that we love each other, let us show the truth by our actions. Those of you that have kids and they do something wrong and you begin to talk to them and they say, well, I didn't want to do it. And you go, whoa, hang on a second. If you didn't want to do it, why did you do it? Because actions, you all know, you say it to your kids, you're like, seriously, actions speak louder than words. I see what you're doing. I know what you're thinking. In fact, sometimes you can see it in their eyes and you go, listen, don't do whatever it is that you're thinking because it's going to be bad. I'm just telling you, it's going to not work out well for you at all. And that's what John says. He says, listen, we are not to be like those people who walk around talking about how much they love everybody. He says, instead, we're to be people that our actions reveal that we love people. That doesn't mean we're not supposed to say, I love you. It just means your actions better reveal it. It's kind of like the people that you're like, you walk up to them and they've got this cranky, grumpy face on them. And you're like, what's wrong? Nothing. Really? You look upset. No, I'm terribly happy. You might want to tell your face that. It's the same thing with, oh, I love you. You might want to tell your actions that, because they're saying the exact opposite. And John says, listen, we are not to be merely people who say we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. And he says, our actions will show that we belong to the truth so that we will be confident when we stand before God. He says, listen, if you are literally walking around showing and acting as if you love those around you and you love those that you're in a relationship with and you love others in Christ, then you can be sure that you have the love of Christ in you, because the love of Christ, when we experience it, changes us from the inside out. So even if you are uncomfortable and you're saying, I'm not sure, if you have the love of Christ that reveals itself to others, then you can be confident that the truth is actually in you. And then another way to put it is this, is that, listen, if you truly have experienced the love of Jesus Christ, it's going to show it in how you treat other people. That's essentially what he's saying. He says, so you can look at your actions, and by your actions, you should be able to answer the question, have I truly experienced the love of Jesus Christ? And then he finishes it like this. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. That should be a bumper sticker right there. God is greater than our feelings. You ever heard someone talk about how they feel like they're in love with someone? And they feel, and they feel, and you just want to slap them, right? Because you're like, seriously, why would you be in love with this person? You guys are a bad fit. It doesn't work. That's wrong. That's not a thing. And we believe that love is a feeling. It's as if, you know, we go back to maybe, you know, junior high girls or middle school girls, and we define love that way. If somebody walks in the room and you're like, you know, butterflies, and you're just like, and you just feel weird, and you get all flush, and your face turns red, you're like, oh, that's love. Bad fish can do that too. I love word pictures, don't you? We think about that. I mean, think about that. That is how often we define love. That it's some feeling that we get that comes up inside of us, and then all of a sudden it expresses ourselves. What I just absolutely love it when people say things like this: "We fell in love." You're like, oh, so you were just, you know, you fell in love. It just happened. Boom, woke up one day and you fell in love. Well, guess what? If you can fall in love, you can also. Isn't that the stupidest thing you've ever heard? I've listened to people, I hear those celebrities and idiots that we pay way too much attention to on TV, and they literally say things like this: well, we just fell out of love. So let's just put that in a word picture for a second. So you fell into love, you walked out of bed one day and you tripped and fell on your face, and there they were, and all of a sudden you were in love with them, and so you took their hand and you were walking through life and everything was great, everything was wonderful, you're walking down the sidewalk hand in hand singing show tunes about how great love is, and then all of a sudden there's a crack in the sidewalk and you tripped unexpectedly and you fell and your hand's broken, you fell out of love. Because that's the way we think it is. That it just happens. It's not something that we did. It's not something that we chose. It just happened. And we fell out of love or we fall into love. That's the dumbest thing, if you think about it. And really break it down and really define it. It's the dumbest thing that we could possibly do is allow our entire lives to be driven by a feeling. Can I tell you something? And I say this with enough experience to know it's true and backed up by the truth of the Word of God. Your feelings lie. They lie all the time because your feelings are based on things like fear, worry, anger, anxiety, and so it feeds those things. So your feelings lie to you on a regular basis. You go, oh no, not my feelings, my gut. It tells me the truth. Think about all the decisions that you've made because you felt. You didn't do the research, you didn't walk through it, you didn't think about it, you didn't process, you just felt it was the right decision. How many of those turned out well? Right, we pick on our weathermen here in Indiana because they're only right like 35% of the time. Your feelings don't even have that good of a rating, but yet you continue to trust them. Aren't you thankful that God is bigger than your feelings? God's not based on your feelings. God's not going, well, how do we feel today? Because God's not concerned about that. Because God's got the bigger picture. God is greater than our feelings. And I love how he ends this. This is so great. And he knows everything. You ever said to your kids, listen, I know everything. Don't, I know everything. John kind of ends it that way. He goes, guys, listen. And by the way, John was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He lived and walked and talked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. In fact, the Gospels call him the disciple that Jesus loved. He was the closest to John as he was to any other human being. Their relationship was like a brotherly relationship. They knew each other very, very well. And you say, well, what does that matter? It's talking about God. Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when Jesus Christ was on earth, he literally said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And so John speaks on great authority here as he talks about love and as he talks about who God is. And he finishes, listen, God knows everything. It's not just about love that he knows everything. He knows everything. So if you would just stop and listen to what God has to say about this, it will change your life. That's what John's trying to say. He's like, listen, God's not just shooting the breeze here. He's trying to tell you what love really is. And if you will listen to him, it can radically transform how you live your life. And so that brings us to our big idea. If this is your first time here, I like to do these things called the big idea because honestly, you'll probably miss other things that I've said. And this is really, if you get this, it will kind of, everything else hangs off of this. Love is a choice, not a fleeting emotion. Love is a choice, not a fleeting emotion. You see, we process it this way. Falling into love, falling out of love. It's not something that we choose. It just happens to us. No, it doesn't just happen to us. We make a choice. You know, those people that say, we just fell out of love. Do you know how that happened? Every morning for an extended period of time, you woke up choosing not to love. You woke up and didn't make the choice to love that person. And so day after day after day, you decided not to make that choice. And lo and behold, you wake up one day and you're lying next to somebody that you don't know because you've not made the choice for a very long time to love them. And your feelings say, that's right, you've fallen out of love. Or maybe you're in a relationship with somebody and you're dating and you're like, oh, this is so great and so wonderful. And then like, one day, you sit down for coffee, and you look across, and you go, I just don't think I love you anymore. Why? Because you made the choice not to. Love is a choice, not a fleeting emotion. You see, it's easy for us to call love an emotion, because then we're not responsible for it. You see, if love is an emotion, it's something that just happens to us. It happens to us and then it doesn't happen to us. I love you, but now I don't. Sorry, sucks to be you. Maybe they're going, no, actually it doesn't. We're thankful, you know. But if love is an emotion, we have no responsibility. If love is a feeling, we have no authority over it. It just happens or it doesn't happen. But when we understand and we see what Jesus Christ says through the writings of John, and John says, listen, we are not to be people who run around talking about love. We are to love in action. Love is a choice that we have to make every day. Do you want to have a relationship that lasts a long time? Do you want to have a marriage that goes through the tough times and is able to come out the other side surviving? Then every day what you have to do is you have to wake up and you have to think, I am choosing today to love this person in spite of what they do, in spite of how they act, in spite of how they react, I'm choosing to love this person. In spite of the fact that I'm going to crawl out of the bed and realize that the dog has peed on the floor or pooped in my slipper or something like that, I am not going to allow my emotions to overcome the fact that I have chosen to love this person. Because love is a choice, not a fleeting emotion. Now, in the first two verses before this, verses 16 and 17, John goes into great detail about two things that love is. The first one is this. Love is doing whatever it takes. Love is doing whatever it takes. Now, we look at this and immediately our brains begin to look for an escape clause. Right? Don't, you know. But our minds do that. Love is doing whatever it takes unless, or but what if, or how about when? Notice there's no escape clause. Love is doing whatever it takes because love is an active choice. 1 John 3:16, which I think is pretty cool, that John 3:16 says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. 1 John 3:16 says this, this is how we know what love is. I love it when the Bible's just kind of blunt, right? You want to know what love is? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. It's okay. This is what love is. Jesus Christ died for us. And then our minds interpret it this way. We should be willing to die for others because that's what your mind just translated into. That's not what it says, though. It says Jesus Christ died for us. And it finishes with, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. I want to pause for a second because I think it's very important to understand this whole idea of God loving us, because we think in our minds sometimes like this, that God made Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve sinned, right? And God was like, crap. The whole plan is messed up. Jesus, we got to come up with a new plan. They've messed up the whole thing down here. What are we going to do? God's like, listen, Jesus, would you be willing to pay the price for their sins? And he's like, well, I guess so if I have to. And then Jesus shows up and he dies for our sins. He goes, look, we've paid for the sins of the world. There you go. And that's how our mind kind of interprets it, because that's how we are. That's how we have a plan. It messes up. We go to plan B. Jesus dying on the cross was not plan B. Jesus dying on the cross was the original plan. From the very beginning. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was sacrificed or crucified before the very foundations of the world. So before God said, let there be light, Jesus said, I will give my life. And here's the crazy thing. The book of Colossians says that Jesus Christ is the agent of creation, or God the Father created everything that ever has been made through the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was the one that formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. Jesus Christ was the one that breathed breath of life in him. Jesus Christ was the one that took the rib out of Adam and formed Eve and breathed the breath of life into her. The very one who was going to die for them was the very one who created them in the first place. But he chose, before they even existed, he chose to love them so much that he created them anyways, even though he knew he was going to have to die for them. That is love. You see, when you look at it that way, it's totally different than, well, you know, plan B, it's still great. But that wasn't plan B. It was always the plan from the very beginning. But he chose to love us anyways. So we look at this and we go, yes, okay, good. And I've known guys, I've talked to guys. I said, listen, are you willing to die for your wife? I'm like, dude, I would totally die for my wife. I would step in front of her and take a bullet for her, and then I'd be dead. I'd be a hero, be great. Do you know that's not what it says? It doesn't say die for others. It says give up your lives. Now see, that's totally different than dying, isn't it? You see, we're willing to die for those that we love. The question is, are we willing to live for those that we love? Are we willing to live in such a way that demonstrates beyond a shadow of a doubt that we love them more than anything else? We say, listen, I'd be willing to give up my life for my family and my kids. Great. Would you be willing to give up video games? How about soccer, football, softball? Oh, no, you can't play. Seriously, you're 40 years old. If you've got to wear more than one brace, you should stop doing it. I'm just saying. You see, we think it's all about giving up our lives. He says, I don't want you to give up your life. I want you to live your life in a way that shows them that you love them. That's what it means. What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to do to express love? Because the truth is, love is doing whatever it takes. But it's not just doing whatever it takes. Love is using whatever you have. You see, when we talk about doing whatever it takes, we're talking about activity from you, all right? You do something for that other person. You do. Sometimes it's time, sometimes it's energy, sometimes it's effort, whatever the case may be. You are doing, it's an active thing. But the Bible tells us that each and every person has been given things by God to steward, to manage, to handle. Sometimes it's you know, abilities, sometimes it's material possessions, sometimes it's compassion or whatever the case may be. And you're given these things. And so whereas doing whatever it takes is something that you do, using whatever it takes is something that you give. And so God says, listen, I'm giving you these things and you are to use them for the benefit of others. And so we see 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, John goes, listen, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ died for us, and you must give up your lives for others. You must do whatever it takes, because that's what Jesus did for those he loves, and that's what you need to do if you've truly experienced love. And then he says, now listen, now you need to use whatever you have. And he says, 1 John 3, 17, this. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Jesus Christ, when he gathered around his disciples the night that he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and Judas Iscariot was sitting at the table at this point in time, by the way, he looked at his disciples and says, guys, I have a new command I'm going to give you. I want you to love one another. Can you imagine their response? Like, that's kind of been a command since the beginning, you know, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. He goes, yeah, but nobody's doing it. So I'm going to reissue it. Love each other. And then he took it even a step farther. He says, the world will know that you are my disciples by how you love. Let's fast forward 2,000 years. Jesus said that the church is supposed to be known by how they love each other and those around them. The church is to be known by the love that they express, by the care that they express. I am amazed that the church is the only army or team in the world that if somebody gets injured or makes a mistake or whatever, they kill them. Firing squad. Oh, you're a human being? Well, we can't let anybody else know that we're human beings, so sorry, we're going to put you off the island. How is it that the group of people that was supposed to be known for how they love is now known for what they hate? Or who they hate? Or what they're against? Or which candidate they're voting for president? I need to say this in all seriousness. I don't think God cares who's president. You know what I think he cares more about? Who's the king of your life? We got people running around who claim the name of Jesus Christ and say, he believes this, he believes that, he believes this. You need to vote for the right political candidate. No politician has ever really done anything great that changed the world. But Jesus died on the cross and changed lives throughout the entirety of history. I think it's more important that we show love, that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, died on the cross for us and said, this is what you're supposed to be like. I think that's more important than beating your neighbors up if they're a Republican or a Democrat. I think that's more important. Because there's going to be a lot of Republicans and a lot of Democrats in hell. Because their neighbor, who supposedly experienced the love of Christ, never showed them love. But they knew who you voted for. And that's what matters. You see, Jesus said, you're supposed to be known by your love. And then John asks the question, how in the world can you not show compassion to someone who's in pain, someone who's hurting, someone who's struggling, someone who needs a hand, someone who needs someone to allow them to cry on their shoulder. How in the world can you not show compassion to them, but yet say, I have accepted and experienced God's love that has changed me from the inside out? Praise God! Really? Why don't you let that love out a little bit? Because if God's love has changed you from the inside out, it should be seen by those around you, and especially those closest to you. Are you willing to use whatever you have to show love to those you say you love? Here's the question that I think you need to ask. What are you holding back? Because if love is using whatever you have, then nothing can be held back, right? And that's, by definition, the very idea of what it means to use whatever you have. What are you holding back? And then whatever you're holding back, I will tell you this now, just look at it, think about it, whatever that thing is that you're holding back, whether it's time or energy or whatever the case may be, whatever you're holding back, I will tell you right now, that is really what you love most. That's really what you love most. You go, no. You can't put it that way. Actually, I didn't. God did. And as John reminded us at the very beginning, he knows everything. You see, we'll often, Trace and I, we'll sit with couples and we'll talk, and it hasn't happened in several years, but sometimes one of the biggest complaints that the wife will make is something like this, you know. He doesn't spend enough time with me. And so we ask, well, what is it that he does? And it'll be, well, he sits and watches football. Or he sits and watches the news. Or he sits, you know, and plays video games. Or he this or that. Or he goes and plays softball. And so I'm one of those guys, I like to get right to the point. I'm like, you know, quit with the fluff. Just tell me the truth. What are we talking about here? And so I'll do this. I'll go, so what you're saying is that your football team is more important than your wife. No, I didn't say that. Yeah, you did. So what you're saying is softball or soccer or video games or whatever is more important than your wife, because you're not willing to give that up. Now, wives, don't be sitting there going, because let me just say, the reverse is also true. Hanging out with the girlfriends, going and running around, doing this, doing that, running from one place to the other. Why? Because you want to make sure that other people know and love you. And so you run from place to place to place to place to place, filling your calendar with events and things so that people will affirm how wonderful you are, and you are looking for love outside of your marriage, even though it's not somebody else that you would necessarily be married to. Maybe it's just other people in your life. So as we wrap this up this morning, I want to give you a challenge. But this challenge comes with a warning label. Now just right here, everyone right here for just really quickly, okay, because this is very important. This message is for you. It is not for the person sitting next to you. If you have found yourself, as we're going through this, going, did you see that? Or elbowing or something like that, can I tell you right now, you need to stop. Because you cannot make someone love you. You're like, oh, you have not seen me. Listen, you cannot make someone love you. But you can choose to love. It's not about them. Husbands, wives, if your spouse is not here, do not go home and say, the greatest message ever. Listen to it. Let me know what you think. It's about you. It's a you problem, not a they problem. You go, I just want to help him along. I just want to kind of nudge him in the right direction. I just want to push her in the right path. Listen, that's what the Holy Spirit is for. There is a Holy Spirit. It's not you. Let him do his work. You do yours. So here's the challenge. This month of love, I challenge you for the rest of this month and hopefully for the rest of your life to wake up and immediately choose, today, I'm going to love. I am making the choice, no matter how I feel. Maybe I didn't get great sleep last night. Maybe the kids were crying. Maybe the alarm kept going off. Whatever the case may be, I'm cranky. Don't choose to be cranky. Choose to love. Choose to love. Because love is a choice, not a fleeting emotion. And so every day this week, wake up and choose to do at least one thing. How hard is that? Seriously. I mean, is that hard? Seriously? You're like, let me tell you. They have a job I can't stand. I don't want anything about it. I foolishly one point in time asked the question, how was your day? Oh my gosh, it took 7 hours. What is it that you need to do to show love? And I know some of you are like, well, I'm not married or I'm not this. It doesn't matter. Love is not being married. Love is not about being married. It's not about being in a relationship. It's about expressing love to those who you say are in your circle of love. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, whatever the case may be. What is one thing that you can do every day to express love? Not the same thing. And oh, by the way, don't take an Instagram picture of it and talk about how great you are because you, oh, look, I bought her flowers. Chink. Do it for them because you've chosen to love them. Not because you have to, because you've chosen to. And when you do that, guess what happens? When you tell your mind that you are choosing to love them, and day after day you express that love to them in a tangible way, you know what begins to happen on the inside of you? That feeling begins to move in that direction. Because the choice predates the feeling. And as you choose day after day, the feeling and desire and joy follows, just like everything else. So maybe you're going, I don't know what to do. Here's a crazy thought. Ask. Just ask. If you're married, ask the question, when do you feel most loved? When do you feel like I love you the most? When do you feel like, you know, what are things I've done in the past that have made you feel that way? If you've got a friend that's particularly down or particularly struggling, and you know that they love, you know, for crying out loud, they love a Coca-Cola. You know, some of you are Coke fanatics. Maybe a Starbucks, maybe we'll go to Starbucks. Starbucks coffee. You know what? You know they're having a bad day? Do something loving. Get them that, bring it to them, and just say, because I know you're having a hard day. That is a loving action. Because love is an action. It's not a fleeting emotion. Love is doing whatever it takes, and love is using whatever you have. Because if you truly love that person, you will do whatever it takes, and you will use whatever you have, because love is a choice. Now the choice is up to you.